Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that send salat on me wherever you are because salat will surely reach me. So please make a habit of sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, we always make this excuse that we haven't got time. But it's the one thing that we have got. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how weak you are, we all have 24 hours in a day. And it's how we manage that time. And in this so-called rat race where we are very, very busy, but even in our busy schedules, there are times where we're waiting for things to happen. We're waiting for the next customer. We're waiting for the next job. We're waiting to see the doctor. We're waiting to see the dentist. And all this waiting time should never be wasted time. And we should utilize that time. And one of the best ways in utilizing that time is in sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers on the channel, through the statements and actions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, we learn about the importance of the rights of creation and the great emphasis Islam places upon fulfilling them rights. This way we too can understand and fulfill the rights of others and forgive them, all with the intention of following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. So inshallah today we're going to learn about the rights of people over other people. We all have a rights over each other, and we need to learn what these rights are, and we need to learn to act according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he put a curtain between this world and the next world, he announced to the gathering, he said, if I am indebted to anyone or I have caused harm to anyone, their life, their wealth or honor, then my life, my wealth, and my honor is present in front of you. Whoever it is, he is free to take revenge from me. Do not think I will be happy with such a person. That is not befitting of me. If someone has a right over me, I would like it greatly if they seek its fulfillment and forgive me. Then he said, O people, the person who is responsible for fulfilling a right must deliver it. Do not be discouraged if it causes disgrace and humiliation. For the humiliation of this world is easier to bear than the humiliation of the hereafter. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the people that if I've done anything wrong to you, if I've upset you, if I've taken any rights of you, if I've taken any wealth of you, and we are here talking about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ideal person, the ideal role model. Without doubt, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never have done this. He would never have taken the rights away from anybody. But he's setting an example for us. You know, whenever you hear any hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any waqia, any incident that took place, don't just think it's a good story. Oh, that was a nice story, wasn't it? No, these incidents have been recorded for a reason. They've been passed down through generation and generation for over 1400 years for a reason. Not so that we can say it's a good story. It's so that we can learn from the incidents of the past. Learn from the incidents of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn from the incidents of the life of the companions. Learn from the incidents of the pious predecessors. And in this particular incident, we're learning how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us. He's teaching us, without doubt, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't take anybody's rights. He didn't take anybody's wealth. He didn't anger anybody, but he's teaching us that if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can seek forgiveness from everybody, who are we? We can surely seek forgiveness from people. And the companions knew, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew the importance of the rights of others from the actions and the speech of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus they themselves do not fall short in this manner. We need to learn how these people live their lives, how they forgive people, then inshallah we can make a change in our lives. There are two types of rights. There are two types of rights in this world. Number one is the right of Allah. The right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the second is the rights of the people. Yes, people have rights over us. We know of the rights of Allah, we need to fulfill them rights. Because we are the slaves of Allah. He created us and He sustains us. So when Allah tells us that do these things, then we need to do these things. You know, we're in the Madrasatul Madinah here in Glasgow. And you know, a child that comes to the madrasa here, be it 4 or 5 or 6, you ask him, is namaz farz upon you? He will know that it is farz upon us. There will be I don't think there'll be any Muslims who do not know that namaz is farz upon us. So then the question is, why we're not reading it? When it is the command of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has instructed us to do this. And this is the right that we have. We have to read our namaz. We have to fulfill these rights. Imam Muhammad Ghazali, with regards to the rights of other people, when he was asked that, why is it compulsory for us to fulfill the rights of others? We know that it is compulsory upon us to listen to Allah Azza wa Jalla, listen to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us, we need to do this. But why is it compulsory upon us to fulfill the rights of other people as well? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala explains this. He says that a person either lives alone or he lives with others. And as it is difficult for a person to live without being in contact with other humans, it is necessary to learn the correct etiquettes of living and interacting with others. There are some etiquettes, rights to learn for everyone that meets others. We come to know that the reason is incumbent to fulfill the rights of others for everyone to live together peacefully. I need to know what your rights are. You need to know what my rights are. We need to know what our children's rights are, what our wife's rights are, what our parents are. We need to know what their rights are. And we need to fulfill them rights. It is unfortunate that nowadays the situation is getting worse. People violate the rights of others and don't think twice about it. You know, we don't think twice that if we fiddle somebody, instead of us being upset or angry with ourselves that as a result of my actions that person's lost money, we're happy with ourselves. Look how clever I am. You know, I dodged him. I swindled him out of a couple of £100 and I got away with it. And we're proud of ourselves. But in fact, what you've done is you've committed the sin, you've violated the rights, but instead what you are doing is you've been happy. You're happy that you violated someone's rights. You're happy that you've cheated someone. You're happy that you've upset someone. You don't care as long as I'm all right. You know, there's a saying in England, I'm all right, Jack. As long as I'm all right, I don't care about anybody else. This is not Islam. Islam is not I'm all right, Jack, that I'm okay and don't care about it. No, Islam, every individual has a right on us. Be it our elders, yes, we all know that our elders have a right on us, but so do our children. So do the young children that are here, they have a right on us. We have a right on them, they have a right on us, and we need to fulfill them rights. Children, nowadays we see that children are disobeying the parents, they're not fulfilling the rights of the parents. And when I say children, forget children, even elders, they're disobeying the rights of the parents. They're not listening to the parents. And we are told many, many times about the rights that our parents have over us. We're told that beneath the feet of a mother is paradise. We're told that Allah's anger is with the father's anger. Allah's pleasure is with the father's pleasure. So we know all these things. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions. He said, do you know who is poor? Do you know who is poor? Now if I was to ask, if we were to sit in a gathering afterwards and I say, who is poor? You'll say, that person, you know, that he's not got a job, he's not got a house, he's not got a car, he's not got any money, he's in debt. You know, that poor person that's living on the street, he is the person that is poor. The companions replied, because they replied in a similar fashion. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a poor person is a person who has neither dirham nor any worldly possessions. As me and you would, we would say that. He hasn't got any money, he hasn't got any worldly possessions, he's the poor person. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the poorest person from my ummah will be the one who will come on the day of resurrection. He will come with prayers. He will come with fasts. He will come with zakat. But since he hurled abuse at others, he made false accusations against people, unlawfully consumed the wealth of others, shed the blood of others, and struck others, his good deeds will be taken in exchange for these sins. And if his good deeds fall short, then there are more people who are rightful to receive, then the sins of them people will fall onto him. So the poorest person is the person that when he passes away on the day of judgment, he has all these fast that he's done, he's had all this namaz that he's read, he's read all these good deeds that he's done. He's read the Quran, he's been on a hajj, he's been fasting, he's been praying. But because he has not fulfilled the rights of other people, because he's abused people, because he's hurt people, then that fast will be taken away from him, the reward. The fast of the reward of the prayer will be taken away from him, the reward of the hajj will be taken away from him, and all these rewards will be taken away in exchange for them sins and given to the other person. And then, if at that moment his sins are still greater and he's lost all his deeds, then what will happen is the sins of others will be transferred to you as well. So you may live a life of piety. You may fast, you may pray, you may pay your zakat, you may go on hajj, but if you upset the rights of others, you've abused others, you've taunted others, you've hurt other people, then on the day of judgment, fear for that day. Fear for that day where all of your good deeds will be taken away from you. Not only will all your good deeds be taken away with you and your balance effectively will be zero, it'll go into negative because all of the sins of other people will be put on your account as well. So as Muslims, it's very important that we learn the rights of other people. Because if we do not fulfill them rights, then on the day of judgment, we may be the poorest of the poor. The word oppressor, I mentioned there. Who is the word oppressor? The word oppressor doesn't just mean to the person who will kill, steal and beat others. Rather, it includes anyone who has violated the rights of others. Even if it appears to be something minor. This includes withholding small amounts of money. You know, you see people now that they'll borrow £500 of someone. They'll borrow £1,000 of someone. And they'll give £500, £400, £50, and then they think, it's only £50. And they don't give the remaining £50, or they don't give the remaining £20, or they don't give the remaining £20. And they think they've got away with it because the other person is too embarrassed to come and ask for £10 that you owe them. And we think, well, we've got away, it's only £10, isn't it? But that, you've usurped his rights. You've violated him. You are the oppressor where you've taken something. Making fun of people. Making fun of people. When you make fun of someone, be it their physical appearance, be it their colour, the eyesight, the length, the height, the weight, you make fun of them, that they may laugh with you. But inside they're not laughing. If you make someone fun about someone's weight or someone's height or someone's colour, they may laugh with you. But inside they're not laughing. But they have no choice but to laugh with you. Now you've hurt their feelings. You've made fun of them. His height, his weight, his colour, his caste, his background, his job, his status, his power, his wealth, his car, all of these things that you can make fun of. You can make fun of his car, his house, all of these things that you're making fun of. By making fun of them, you are observing his rights. And on the day of judgment, you will be questioned about that. On the day of judgment, your good deeds will be taken away from you as a result of that. From the rights of people, from all of the people, all the rights of people, the rights of the parents are the greatest. And then the rights of blood relatives, who are deserving of honor and respect. And unfortunately, nowadays, we don't give attention to this. We don't respect our parents and we don't respect our blood relatives. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are three people who will not enter paradise. Number one is he who grieves his parents. Number one is he who gives grief to his parents, who hurts his parents' feelings, who hurts them in any way. Number two is the dayuth. And number three is the woman who imitates a man. And for those of you who don't know, the youth is that person who he's not embarrassed or he's not ashamed or he's not angry if his wife goes out wearing all flirty clothes or whatever and he doesn't protect her. He doesn't care if she goes out wearing tight clothes. He doesn't care if she's going out wearing perfume. He doesn't care. And he's happy when people say, oh, mashallah, you've got a beautiful wife. And he's happy at that statement. And we see nowadays that on social media, people are putting pictures of their wives on and all sorts of things. That person is a dayuth. And if you look up this word in the hadith, there are many instances where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about that person. The third person is a woman who imitates a man. With regards to the parents, we need to remember that parents are a priceless gift. You know, there are people probably sitting here today that if they've lost one or two of their parents, you ask them, what is a mother? You ask them, what is a father? And they will tell you. You know, if you've got both your parents, you don't realize the value of them. You think, wow, they're just my parents, they're giving me a hard time, they're always causing me problems. But when you lose one of them, or you lose both of them, then you realize what a priceless gift this is. It's one of the few things in this dunya that cannot be replaced. You cannot replace your mother. You cannot replace your father. Nobody can replace them two relations. And so we need to realize that they are a priceless gift. The rank of the parents is explained in the Quran and the Hadith. The rank is there, the status is there. Obedience to the parents is a means of earning the pleasure of Allah and the pleasure of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Muslims, ultimately our goal as Muslims is to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ultimately our goal is to please Allah azza wa jalla. And if we are obedient to our parents, then inshaAllah azza wa jalla will achieve that. Parents, they sacrifice their health and their well-being for the children. Children are born from the blood and the flesh of the parents. Parents shed tears and worry when their children fall ill. Parents will stay awake during the night for the sake of their ill children. Parents sacrifice their lives for the future of the children. Parents bear hardship before and after the children are born. And the rights of the parents are explained by the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. All of these things that I just mentioned, the sacrifices that our parents make for us. Our mother, she will clean us when we're unclean. Our father will go out and work hard so there can be food on the table, but we don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate all the hard work that our parents put in to bringing us up and giving us the tarbiyat. And we need to realize that what they have done for us. We need to appreciate our parents and love our parents and respect our parents. You know, a lot of people think nowadays, oh, well, why should I respect them because they don't respect me? You know, when it comes to your friends, your friend circle, if someone doesn't respect you, you don't respect them. Okay, fair enough. But when it comes to your parents, no. That's not the condition. Doesn't matter whether your parents respect you, you must respect your parents. Then you get the youngsters of today, they say, oh, well, you know what? My parents, they don't understand me. My parents, they were born in the 50s, they were born in the 40s, they were born in a village. They don't know the problems that I'm facing in Glasgow in 2022. They don't realize the problems I'm facing. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't understand their problems. But that does not give you any right to disrespect them. Maybe they don't understand anything that you're going through. They might not understand any of the problems that you're facing. They don't even understand what you're saying, what you're feeling, or anything. But does not give you a right to disrespect your parents. No matter what. There's no condition. You must respect your parents. You must listen to your parents. You must obey your parents. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Jahima radiallahu anha, went to the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I wish to fight in the way of Allah. A battle was being prepared, the army was being prepared. And he came and he said, I want to go and fight in the way of Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is your mother alive? And when he replied in the positive, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go, make it necessary upon yourself to serve her, for paradise lies beneath her feet. You know, we all know about the great status of jihad and sacrifice in the way of Allah, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, rather than going in jihad, serve your mother. The reward is greater. It is mentioned in another narration that the one who finds both of his parents or one of them and does not treat them well, he is distant from the mercy of Allah and deserving of his wrath. In another hadith we hear that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going up the minbar, he said Ameen 3 times. And when he was asked afterwards why he said Ameen 3 times, on one, it was Hazrat Jibreel alayhi was saying a dua, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying Ameen to that dua. And one of the duas that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi made was, woe unto him who finds his parents, one of his parents, or both of his parents reach an old age, and he does not achieve paradise. Woe unto him, that person is ruined. Your parents, when they achieve an old age, is a blessing for you. You are fortunate, it is your chance, your opportunity to achieve paradise, but now we think it is a burden. I've seen people that have sat there crying and said, you know, my father passed away, and not once did we have the opportunity to give him a glass of water, because he passed away at a young age. And they wish that if the parents had reached that old age, that they could have served them, they could have looked after them, and they could have been rewarded from them. This is your opportunity. You know, in this dunya, we look for opportunities to make more money. We look for opportunities where we can make more money. And you see, for example, the taxi drivers, they wait for a certain month in the year and they decide that they're going to work 12 hours, 16 hours a day during that certain time because it's going to be busy. It's the opportunity to make more money. Your parents reaching an old age is your golden opportunity. Your golden opportunity to achieve so much reward. Your golden opportunity to achieve the pleasure of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your golden opportunity to achieve the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla, and your golden opportunity to attain paradise. But unfortunately nowadays we see our parents as a burden. Because obviously when people get old, they get a bit, you know, edgy. They may say things that they don't mean. You may find it hard to deal with your parents. But that's your test. They dealt with you when you couldn't walk. They dealt with you when you couldn't clean yourself. They dealt with you when you couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat. They fed you with their own hands. Why are we not feeding our parents with our own hands? Why are we not looking after our parents now? It is our responsibility. Allahu Akbar. Therefore, we need to learn to respect our parents. The father of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib, he passed away before his son was born. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only 6 years of age, his beloved mother, Sayyidina Amina bint Wahab, radiallahu anha, also passed away. Then he was under the care of his grandfather, and then his uncle, and he respected all of them. He fulfilled the rights of all of these people. These are all blood relatives that you need to. Sayyidina Abu Tufail radiallahu anhu narrates that a woman came, and when she came close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got up, he got his cloak and he spread it out for her. And the companion said, "Who is this person that you spread out your cloak for?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that she is my mother through nursing. She was my milk mother. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah narrates, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this to show respect and express his happiness. You know, everything that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is for us as an example. He was showing the respect to his milk mother, to his nursing mother. He was showing that respect to her. Now, if he could show that respect to his milk mother, what respect would you show, should we be showing, to our own mothers? We also learn that standing out of respect, he stood out of respect, is permissible. And regardless of a person's status, they should respect those who raised them. Nowadays, how many of us, when our parents come into the room, do we stand up? You know, our parents come into the room, maybe. Okay. We don't even look at them. We don't even give them salam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you look at your parents with love, if you look at your parents with love, you'll get the reward of one accepted Hajj. The Sahaba Kiram said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." You know, they were so lucky, the companions, that they could ask these questions. "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we look at them more than once, if we look at them twice, look at them 5 times, look at 10 times, look at them 100 times, then?" The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Every time you look at them with love and devotion, you will get this reward." And what are we doing? Again, losing these golden opportunities. Losing these golden opportunities. Sayyidina Halima radiallahu anha, the milk mother of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she once came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained of a drought. This, upon the request of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha gave 1 camel and 40 goats to her. This was out of respect. So when our relatives come to us and they're struggling financially, they're struggling because they're poor, what do? Do we help them? Do we help our relatives? Do we try and get them to stand on their own 2 feet? Or do we just give them a little bit just to keep them, you know, eager? We want to keep them poor. We don't want them standing on their feet, because if they stand on their feet, you know, they might answer back to me, no, keep them down. Instead of helping them in such a way that they can stand on their own feet. So our blood relatives, if we are fortunate enough, alhamdulillah, I believe that people in the West, people in the UK, we are in a fortunate position that there are probably many, many people sitting here today in this masjid, in this madrasa, that will have more money in their pocket right now. They'll have more money in their pocket right now than people back in Parkhind earning a whole month. Allah has blessed us. Blessed us with money. And on the day of judgment, you'll be questioned. What did you do with that money? Well, I bought a big car, I bought a big house, I bought nice clothes. Take it, fine. There's nothing against that. There's nothing haram in having a big house, a big car, or nice clothes. Nothing haram whatsoever. But at the same time, what did you spend for your relatives? What did you spend in the way of Allah? And remember this, that money that you've got, Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you. You may think you worked hard for it, but Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you that money. And on the day of judgment, you will be questioned by this. Nowadays, we see there are people who offer the salah, offer the fast, perform the Hajj and Umrah, spend with an open hand in the way of Allah, visit the masjids and the madrasas, help the poor and needy, spend on their friends, ask about them and help them in a difficult time. But when it comes to the relatives, they don't want to help them. They'll help friends, they'll help colleagues, they'll help people that they know in the community, they'll build masjids, they'll build madrasas, but they won't help their own relatives. And them relatives, they have a right on you as well. An understanding brother does not engage in anything that opposes Sharia. He does not hurt the feelings of his sisters like this. He does not oppress his sisters. He does not neglect their rights. He does not threaten his sisters. A good brother is always considerate of his sisters' happiness, needs, and permissible wishes. He is kind and compassionate to them. He helps them during difficult times. He sacrifices his happiness and desires for the sake of his sisters. He does not delay in fulfilling their rights. He does not allow them to become sad even after they are married. How many of us now worry or are concerned about our sisters? We're mentioning our sisters here. Once they get married, not my problem anymore. Stay your sister. And then what happens, unfortunately, within our communities, what happens is we usurp the rights of our sisters by not letting them have any inheritance. When it comes to the inheritance, we think, no, the sisters don't need to do it, have any. That's against Sharia. The sisters, your daughters, they have a right to that inheritance as well. So don't think just because you're clever, just because you're powerful, just because you're in a position of status, that you can usurp the rights and not give them the inheritance. Today you may be able to take it away from them. Today you may be able to steal that money from your sister, from your daughter, from your mother even. But on the day of judgment, you'll be questioned. That why? Why did you do this? Dawat Islami provided you with an opportunity. That when it comes to inheritance, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, whenever it comes to inheritance, go to the scholars, go to Darul Iftah and sit down and say, this is my wealth. This is what I have got. These are my relatives. Tell me, how should I distribute it? What are the shares? And they will tell you. Don't try and be a mufti yourself. Don't try and work it all out yourself. You know, here in the UK, I've seen scholars, our Dawat Islami scholars, that even though they are scholars and they've been trained on this, even when it comes to inheritance, they will go to the muftis and ask them. They'll put it in front of them, mufti sahab, this is what I think, and the mufti sahab will say yes or no. So if our scholars do this, who are we? We should also go to the scholars and say to them, look, this is an inheritance. Tell me, what should I be giving to my daughter? What should I be giving to my sister? What should I be giving to this person? What should I be? And let them know. And do not upset the rights. A good brother does not allow his sisters to become upset. Rather, he ensures they spend their lives in happiness. From the actions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn about the importance of sisters, the rights, showing them love and compassion, and having good relationships with them. It is written on page 46 of the monthly magazine Fazana Medina, in the April 2017 edition, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed good conduct towards his foster sister, Sayyidina Shaima radiallahu ta'ala, in the following way. He would stand in her presence. He would stand in the presence of his foster sister. Now I'm asking you to stand in the presence of your parents, and we don't even do that. How many of us stand in the presence of our sisters? How many of us stand in the presence of our brothers? He would spread out his cloak for her to sit on it. He said to her, ask, you will be given, intercede, your intercession will be accepted. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shed tears while showing this level of generosity. He also said, if you wish, you can stay with us with honor. When she returned, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her 3 male slaves, 1 female slave, and 1 or 2 camels. When they met again in Jirana, he gave her sheep and goats. The relationship between the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the foster sister is enough for us to know how we should respect our sisters. But do we? Or do we just think that the sister in the house, she's a maid, her job is to cook for me, her job is as soon as I get home to have a cup of tea ready for the father, or a cup of tea ready for the brother, have the food ready there, she's another slave in the house, another maid in the house. Does she not have rights? Yes, she does have rights. And Islam has given her rights. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu raised 9 or 7 sisters, and he married a widow. He married a widow so she could teach them good manners and help with their upbringing. Because he had all these sisters, 7 or 8 sisters, or in one narration, 9 sisters, and he was concerned about their upbringing. So he married an elderly woman, a widow, who could give them the right tarbiyah. Rather than marrying an unmarried woman, he married a widow so that she could help in the upbringing. Why? He was concerned about them. And nowadays we don't care concerned about them. Other family members have rights too, and we need to learn to fulfill them. Remember, 11 noble, pure women were blessed to be married to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would always treat them firmly, fulfill their rights, bring joy to their hearts, and had good relations with all of them. The mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, states that whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to go on a journey, he used to draw lots amongst his wife, and he would take with him the one who was drawn. So he would divide his time amongst them, fulfilling the rights of each and every one of them. And it said that when his time came close, when he was ill, coming towards, and he realized that the end of time is coming, he called upon all his wives and he said, I request you, please give me permission to stay with Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Now he could have said, just, I'm staying here. This is where I'm staying. This is my decision. And this is what I'm doing. Like it or lump it. No, he, each and every one of them, he spoke to them and requested their permission and said, look, this is your right that I should be with you. However, please listen to my request. Enable me to stay here. And obviously all of them agreed to it. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us to make sure that we don't observe the rights of others as well. Remember, a good and pious wife is a great blessing for a husband. A husband who values this blessing will be successful in attaining the goodness of this world and the hereafter. Allah azza wa jalla has appointed men as the maintainers of women. However, this does not mean that a husband can beat his wife, give her no value, scold her, force her to give up her bride and mother, threaten to divorce her, kick her out of the house, etc. And we see this again, that we treat our wives like almost like slaves. We abuse them. We force them. You know, in the West, the enemies of Islam say to us that, you know, we force our women to stay in the house. We force our women to cover themselves. We force our women not to do anything. But unfortunately, the opposite is happening now. We're forcing our women to go out of the house. We're forcing our women to go and get jobs. We're forcing our women to pay half the mortgage. We're forcing our women to pay half of the bills. I'm putting all the pressure. It's your job as men. It's your job to ensure all this. Your wealth is your wife's wealth. Your wife's wealth is not your wealth. With regard to the rights of a wife, Sayyidina Hakim bin Muawiyah narrates from his father that a man asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the rights of the woman over her husband? He said that he should feed her when he feeds himself, clothe her when he clothes himself, he should not strike her on the face, nor call her unsightly, and if he must separate from her as a form of discipline, he should only do it in the home. He should feed her what he feeds himself, clothe her what he clothes himself. He also stated, the best amongst you is the one who is good to his family, and I'm the best towards my family from amongst you. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at me, how I treat my wife, how I treat the family. This is how you should treat your family. He also said, a believing man should not consider his believing wife to be the enemy. If he displeases her with one of her habits, he will be pleased with another of her habits. Meaning that sometimes what happens is, your wife might do something that you don't like. And we make that small issue into such a big, huge problem. We make a mountain out of a molehill, as they say. What you should do, yes, without a doubt, you think it, two people, there's no two people are identical. There'll be things about me that you don't like, there'll be things about you that I don't like. There'll be things about each, you know, your husband, your wife that you don't like, and there'll be things about you that your wife doesn't like about you. But what you need to do is rather than focusing on the negative aspects of the individual, focus on the positives. Okay, I don't like how they've done this. I don't like how, you know, they've done this, but alhamdulillah, she's good with this, she's good with this, she's good with the children, she does this, she does, and focus on the positive things. What we do is we forget all them positive things, we focus on one negative thing, and we blow it out of proportion. So always focus on the positive, and inshallah you'll have an easier life, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The matters relating to the rights of people are extremely important, and I think we're learning that today. So we must always be very, very cautious with regards to that. Regarding to release someone or fulfilling a right. Remember, mentioning a sin you committed and making others aware of it is also another sin. So you also must seek forgiveness from it. So if you've infringed someone's rights, if I've upset you, then it's not enough to me to say, Ya Allah, forgive me for everybody I've upset. Ya Allah, forgive me for everybody I've robbed. Ya Allah, forgive me for everybody's rights that I've taken away. No, I need to go to that individual, whoever that individual is, and seek forgiveness from that individual. Now you may think that individual, wise, who is that person? He has no status. It's only a child. It's only this. It's only my wife. It's only my daughter. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. If you've taken the rights of someone, you need to go to that person and seek their forgiveness. Now, you cannot force them to forgive you. If they say no, I'm not going to forgive you, then you must try your best, your utmost best to get them to forgive you. But you cannot force them to forgive you. But you must go to them. You cannot just forget about it. What happens is we brush things under the carpet. We forget about these things. We forget about all the sins that we've committed. We forget about all the problems that we've created in society. And we think, well, dekhi jayegi. It's not as simple as that. On the day of judgment, you will be questioned for each one of these things. And like I said at the beginning, the poorest person is he who has all these good deeds, but they'll all be taken away from him. They'll all be taken away from him. He'll lose all these rights. So you need to say to yourself, who have I abused? Who have I been an oppressor to? Who have I taken the rights away from them? Be it your immediate family members, be it your wife, your children, be it your parents, then your blood relatives, then your friends, then your colleagues, whoever it is, doesn't matter who it is. And you need to humble yourself and go and seek forgiveness from them. You need to go to them and seek their forgiveness. And don't just think to yourself, oh well, because they're a lower status than me, because they don't have any power, they don't have this, it doesn't matter. It does matter. You still must go to them. Doesn't matter who they are. So my dear Islam brothers, today we've learnt a little bit about the rights of individuals. In the same way that we have rights on other individuals, but rather than waiting for other people to fulfil our rights, you should make sure you fulfil the rights of others. The rights of your parents, as we mentioned, the rights of your children. We didn't mention that a lot, but you can find out what rights your children have. And so as individuals, as Muslims, at every step in our life, there is certain knowledge that we need to acquire. As you get to a certain age, it is incumbent upon you to acquire the knowledge of salah, wuzu, ghusl. As you get to a certain age, it's incumbent upon you to acquire that knowledge, it follows upon you to acquire the knowledge of fasting. As you get to a certain age where you want to get married, you need to know the Islamic ruling with regards to marriage. What about when you get children? What is the tarbiyat? How do I need to bring up my children? What are my rights of my children? When it comes to opening up a business or whatever you do, whatever job you do in your life, it is obligatory upon you to make sure that you correct yourself on the way. And as Muslims, we're very fortunate there is not a single aspect in our life that we cannot take guidance for. And that's what the scholars are there for. Alhamdulillah, here in the UK, there are many Jamaat al-Madinahs that are opening up. And the Jamaat al-Madinah is where we are creating the scholars, the English-speaking scholars of the future. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we were all screaming that we need the English scholars. Alhamdulillah, the Islam is taking it upon them. And there's going to be a Jamaat al-Madinah, there's Jamaat al-Madinah for brothers, and there's Jamaat al-Madinah for sisters as well. So I request the people that are watching here today, or the people that are watching on Madani channel, that if you can, convince or consider sending your children to make them a scholar. Because a scholar, he will inshallah safeguard your iman. He will safeguard the iman of your family. He will guide you what you should or should not be doing. Even if it's your daughter, they will guide you what you should and should not be doing. I mean, you know, it's a complete different topic, but the status of a scholar. A scholar can admit people into paradise without accountability. So we need to try and make sure that inshallah we fulfill this. And I pray to Allah that here in Scotland, in Glasgow in particular, for the viewers that are watching here, that there are plans here that in the future, that inshallah Allah will be opening up Jamaat al-Madinah here in Scotland for both brothers and sisters. And I pray to Allah that that time comes soon. I pray to Allah if I've said anything wrong, may Allah forgive me. And I pray to Allah that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I said, to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
Sallu ala al-habib.